Beginning a new year. Today, at least in a couple of hours, it will be a new year. A new year of 2015. Can you imagine 2015? That's a beautiful time, isn't it? Now, many people like to reminisce on what they did in 2014 and what they did in the past. But we here at the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited, we like to put our attention on today, the now. So just imagine, if you can, 365 days all jumbled into one today, this moment, this second, as we think of the new year, and what's all taking place in there. All is in divine order. All is beautiful. All is wonderful. All is fantastic. We are independently wealthy. You like that? It's a good idea, isn't it? But what else are we besides being independently wealthy and happy? Ellen? Sylvia? Nita? Rex? Herb? Take the first thing. When we give our morning togetherness, what do we say? The first thing.
Oh, I like me.
No, you are exactly correct. But om, 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 om. Okay, what's the first thing we give?
A hug and a kiss.
We say om, 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 om. Now, would you like to try it? Ellen, would you try it? What's the first thing we say? Forget it. What's the first thing we say as we are preparing, as we are giving our morning togetherness?
Om, 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 om.
And what's the second thing we say?
I like me, 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 I like me.
How many times was that?
Seven times.
Seven times. That's kind of nice, isn't it? All right. Then what comes next?
I'm peace.
Oh, she's got a voice over there saying the program. No? Let's not be... That's right. Yeah, so let's just be harmonious with what I'm attempting to do here. I'm putting 365 days in one moment. Okay? So, om, 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 om. I like me, I like me, I like me. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. All is in divine order. Is that what we do?
Yes.
No. All is in divine orders at the end. That sort of gathers together our thoughts. Where do we have I'm independently wealthy?
In the middle.
Second. No. Yes, a third. First is om, 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 om.
Well, and,
yeah, but that's part of this. Because if you're teaching this to people, you have to teach them, first you say,
om, 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 om.
Second you say,
I like me, I like me, I like me.
Then you say,
I am peace.
Then you say,
I
am independently wealthy. Then you say,
all is in divine order.
Why do you say all is in divine order at the end?
All in
you wrap it up. Yeah. You wrap it up. Now, why is it we're sometimes forgetting to do that in that order?
We don't.
We don't. But?
We don't forget.
We don't forget. Okay. What was the thing that you could always depend upon when you had Ingeborg in any of your activities? Ingeborg loved to do it her way. She loved to play checkers her way. She loved to play cards her way. She loved to play Monopoly. Would you please pay attention? You ask for the stalk, and then you sit there admiring the cat. Now, Sammy, if you're going to take the attention of our group, I'm going to have you give the talk. Are you ready?
No.
He said, I talk with a silent tongue. And I talk with the that's our beautiful cat here, Sammy. He talks with a silent tongue. What does he say with a silent tongue?
I love you. Peace. I like me.
Sammy says, I like me. Who else is in Sammy's world? Sammy.
Sammy.
He is number
one.
And he thinks he's the greatest in the world. See there? He sits there in front of all of us taking his bath, you know. It doesn't bother him. He doesn't need any privacy. He just licks his paws and his legs and he says, oh, I am so gorgeous. I'm so beautiful. And he said, and I'm a boy too. And I'm still pretty wonderful. Can you say that about yourself?
Of course, yes.
What do you think Sammy says all year long about himself?
I like me.
Yeah. Do you think Sammy thinks that there are any other nice people in this world?
No. Well, everybody.
Who?
Everybody, yeah.
You could say me, for instance. Yeah. You. Sammy loves to walk close to my chair and rub my leg as he goes by. And when he does that, he's saying, hey, I think you're okay. You're a nice guy. And then when I walk out the door in the evening, he comes chasing my shadows around as I'm walking out. And he says, I think I'll take a walk with you. And then Rex gets outside the door, and it's 9 o'clock or 8:30. And so then I step outside the door. And then Sammy steps outside the door, and he says, it's cold out here. I'm going back in. And he heads back in. Some days on warm nights, he goes up the hill. Some days on wonderful nights, he comes all the way down to the Hermitage. But now, whose world is Sammy's world?
Sammy's.
Does it matter to Sammy whether you or I or any of us call ourselves his master?
Mm-mm.
No. Who is his master?
He
is. And he knows it. Who is Rex's master?
He himself.
Rex is realizing that I really don't care. And I walk out the door and I leave him sitting there. I say, Rex, you want to come along? And he says, it's so nice and warm and cozy in here. It's so nice in here, you know. And I say, okay, see you. And then, little by little, he's learning to come to the door and go with me where I'm going. Because he realizes that where I'm going is kind of fun. And sometimes there's nice petting along the way. We all have these days to look at it. Now, you see, Ellen still cannot take her eyes off of Jeannie.
Because Sammy. He looks in the mirror where it's written, on I love me.
I like me.
No, it's on the mirror. It's written, I love me. And he looks all the time in that mirror.
Now, can you learn anything from that?
Oh, definitely.
What can you learn?
That I love me.
You can learn that you love you by looking in the mirror that Sammy looks in, and it says, I love me to Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair for you to take that away from Sammy?
No.
No, it's not. Why do you do it? Why do you take that away from Sammy? When Sammy looks in there and sees that I like me, why do you take it away? It's still going, isn't it? Yeah. Why do you take it away? You don't. You don't. But why do people think you take it away? Why do people think you take it away?
They don't.
Because you spend your time looking at Sammy and smiling, looking at Sammy and saying, oh, isn't that a beautiful cat? Isn't he doing wonderful things? Instead of saying, I am wonderful. I am fantastic. Say this about yourself often, more often than you do. You see, we've been talking recently a little about schizophrenia, and we've been talking about mental happiness and attitudes. And what do? We think it's always about somebody else. But as soon as we can begin thinking it's about us that these happy times are, not schizophrenia and stuff like that necessarily, but really, if I say to you, schizophrenia, what word comes to your mind? I like me. I am happy. Everything I do is right. Everything I do is good. Now, does it come to your mind when I say schizophrenia, unbalanced, unhappy, irrational? That's what it comes to many people's minds. And then many people wonder to themselves why they have those times of irrationality. They wonder why they have those times of feeling unhappy about themselves, you know? And what is it all about? It's just what we do with our words and our thoughts. Now, Ellen, are you a divinely created woman?
Yes.
Are you a woman who divinely created yourself?
Yes.
Did you do a superior job of it?
Yes.
Is everyone else here superior, just like you are? Can you concentrate on my talk while I'm giving it, rather than sitting there eating and cleaning off the plates?
Everybody is his superior self.
Sylvia, what's wrong with that statement?
Everybody.
That's right. What should it be?
I am my superior self.
Now, Ellen, everybody's God. You're saying that merely because you don't believe that you're God. If you believe that you're God, you would say, I am God, and not have to have anything to back it up. Not have to have other people be God, too. You know, I'm God, but so are you. I'm God, but you're wonderful, too. You know, well, I'm a millionaire. My name's Bill Gates. And you say, well, I wish I could say that about myself. You know? Well, you can. When did Bill Gates start saying he was a millionaire?
Never.
Always. Bill Gates always thought he had enough money to do anything he wanted to do in his business. So what did he do? He went out and he bought the most delicious dinner you could ever want. And what was it?
A
hamburger. Now, he could not afford to eat hamburgers because it made him look like a person who didn't have a budget to eat something better. Do you think that disturbed him?
No.
Not at all. Do you think any person who has it ever worries about what other people are going to think about them having it? No. Because if you are a rich person and you're worried about what other people think about you, give it to them. Then they have to worry about it. But no, you are your own source of everything. You are your own source of all the good in your world, all the good in your life. But you'll never have that good in your life. And you never have it because you cannot look back at 2014 and say, wow, what an abundant year I had. Every need was met and every joy of my heart was fulfilled. Now, can you say that?
Yes.
And you can. But do you say that? No,
yes.
You don't. You remember where you failed. Now, I'm going to give you a suggestion. You have the opportunity of reading all the books in the world. So, you want to read books on successful people. On people who are, but you're not reading the book on successful people. Because in their book, they spend most of their time writing about how they were unsuccessful and became successful. Not that they were successful, they were successful, they were successful. They didn't become successful until they stopped saying they were unsuccessful. And we continue saying we're unsuccessful, and then we wonder why we're not successful. But if we can train ourselves to say, I am whole
and
perfect. Every organ,
my body is whole and perfect.
It's a whole statement, Joe. I like
me.
I like me. Now, why do you say that?
Because that's what it is all about.
That's the truth. That's the reality. That's what it's all about. That's where we want to be in our consciousness. So uplifted, so beautiful, so fantastic that there is no otherness. There is no time when you didn't have. 1975, 1980, 1999, 2000, 2000, 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 15 now. And what happened in all those years? Think of those years. Can you remember when you were poor? Can you remember when you didn't have? Can you remember when we used to sleep all in a little room and all that sort of stuff? Can you remember? Oh, yeah. Not really. You have to tell yourself you remember, because you think of sleeping in your wonderful bed with your electric motor underneath it and your duvet and all these things that make it so comfortable. That's where we belong. We belong in the luxury of life in the luxury of our thinking, in the luxury of our everyday attitude, because that's who we are. And if we do not take it, somebody else is going to take it. If you go to the roadside and you throw away your electric bed, somebody else is going to come along and pick it up and say, how about that? Always wanted one of these electric beds, you know. They take it home. I think it's wonderful. But if you try to give electric bed away, you won't find any takers. Their first question is, what's wrong with it? You see? So what we want to do is to live in the luxury of all the goodness that exists. We want to live in the luxury of, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. All is in
divine order.
And when we say that, then we have created that in our world. We've created that in our life. We've created that for us, and it's ours forever and ever and ever. But it's not ours. If you're going to keep remembering the troubles you had while you're becoming a millionaire, keep remembering the troubles you had when you were struggling. Do you think that Carnegie, and these people you don't know, so we'll leave them alone, can you think of Bill Gates? Can you think of Apple?
Steve Jobs.
Can you think of these people ever thinking of themselves as being poor? No. Even when they had more money than they knew what to do with, they bought hamburgers. Maybe they bought a better grade of meat, but hey, the better grade of meat isn't all that good. You know what the better grade of meat is? All the fat, all the taste is taken out of it. They've made it into like sweetless sugar. You know, and who wants sweetless sugar? If you're not going to have sweet sugar, who wants it? Because we do not have to make ersatz materials. You know what ersatz is?
Yes.
Yes?
Replacement
stuff. Sort of, yeah. And you didn't know that? That's a German word.
What
is it? Ersatz.
Ersatz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you see, we do that. And then we wonder why the food isn't so much fun, why it isn't so delicious. Now, Anita is a vegetarian. And Anita does not make ersatz hamburgers, and she doesn't make ersatz pork sausages. Now, watch your face. Watch your face. She does not. You see it that way. You see her sausage, and you say, oh, that's really just vegetarian material. And she says, that's not sausage, that's vegetarian material. And I love it. And she says, to me, it tastes very good. To me, it tastes delicious. She says, I could buy or eat anything that I chose, but I choose these non-animal parts because that satisfies me. That makes me happy, right? Right?
Yes.
She better say right. Yes. Now, why? Why does it satisfy you? Was there ever a time that you liked meat?
It satisfies me right now.
Oh, do you understand? She has no past. She has no time when she liked something else. But what things is Anita learning to like? Anita says, all these things I'm reading about, all these things I'm learning about, they're good for my body and filled with love, and they're fantastic. And so that's the desire of my heart. That's what I enjoy, right? More or less?
Right. Yeah. Can you explain that a bit more clear?
Well, you are saying to yourself, I really don't want any pork chops.
You're still talking food?
Yes.
Okay, I've got you.
What else would I talk about a vegetarian about?
Because you said you all the stuff you're reading about, and I was wondering what I was reading about.
Food.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, all good. Yeah. So, all of us go through that. And what happens when we go through that? We sometimes think we want it. Now, my sister used to love to play a game on me when I'd go visit her. My wife and I were vegetarians, very serious ones at that time. And we'd go to her house and we'd say, now, we're vegetarian, so don't worry about us. We'll just eat the vegetarian material. Oh, no, I've got to fix things for you. So she took the peas and the carrots and the potatoes, and she took all those things and mixed meat sauce in with it. She thought she was doing us a favor that we really couldn't afford to do it, perhaps, or whatever was the reason, but she wanted us to eat what she was eating. Now, what did that make me feel about my sister? I always got there after supper. I always got there after they had served their meals, because then I didn't have to argue about it. And I wasn't going to argue for my choices in life. If we go through our world ever and argue for our choices, then we're not confident in them. But if we go through life just doing what's right for us to do, and if someone doesn't agree with us and doesn't want to mentally allow us to do it, we just are not there. We just are not there. And now, how many times in this past year did you have to do that? None. I gave her my lips for the reading, and she had to have me lip read it a little more strongly. But, okay, none. And this is what happens to you. Now, what is your 2015, this day, this moment, about? It's about being yourself and having fun. It's about living in a happy life. And it's not for one second letting yourself be distracted by the cat or by anything else. Not for one second. When you're playing with the cat, you play with the cat. You won't let somebody come and take you away from that joy. And when you're in another activity, you give your attention 100% to it. Because if you don't do that, you're missing the gift that that has to give to you. And if your mother says, Sylvia, when you're on a plane now, ride your bicycle on the sidewalk, but don't go out in the street with it. You know, stay on the sidewalk. And you were there, you heard it, but you didn't hear it. Because you were thinking, now, my sister and I were going to have a race down the street with our bicycles. We're going to do this here. We're going to go out on the road and we're going to race here. Because there's no cars around anyhow. And you didn't even hear your mother give you that instruction because you were not paying attention at that point of learning that's so important for all of us. And we have to learn how to do that. When I give a lecture, I say, everyone, please pay attention to me. And when you give a lecture, I pay attention to you 100%. I don't pay attention to look for your errors. I pay attention to look for your wisdom and your joy and your happiness, and for your moment of bliss that you're sharing in this 2015, that this moment, this instant now, we don't have to wait till New Year's. It's total, 365 days right now, and how wonderful that is, you know? Pretty exciting, isn't it? Think what you can do when you're in charge of your life. But always remember, be courteous to yourself. If somebody is giving a lecture or talking or sharing in front of you, give them 100% attention. If you don't really want to listen to what they say, don't be there. Be somewhere else. You could be in the bathroom. But just be somewhere else. And when it's time for you to give your lecture, then you get up there and you give your lecture, and people will listen to you too. With the same interest you had in listening to them. But remember, be yourself and have fun. And if you know what being yourself is and having fun, you'll know that you're divine. Jimmy, the street is for the big cars. The sidewalk is for you and your bicycle and playing with your friends. Jimmy, please do not go in the big street. It has not been... Jimmy's not listening. And Jimmy runs out in the street and he gets run over and killed. And his mother says, oh, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Well, what she did wrong, she didn't have Jimmy's attention when she was speaking. She didn't think it was important enough to share with Jimmy what she meant when she said it. And she let him be there with a mind that was drifting off somewhere else. You say, that's terrible. No, it isn't. Nothing wrong. It's just, if you're going to accept the job of being a mother, being a share, or doing something with children or with other adults, take that responsibility with all your heart and make sure that you get across. Teachers in school are miserable teachers when they teach the way they teach, rather than transmitting the information to the children in such an exciting way that the children are excited about everything they hear. If the teachers don't do it, they don't do it. You know why most schools cannot handle autistic children? Because the teachers don't know how to handle an autistic child. How do you handle an autistic child? You get inside of their mind, which is the busy, exciting mind, and you share with them the enthusiasm you have for their subject, and you find out that they're more brilliant than you ever realized. And you're more brilliant than you ever realized. But if you're going to make them learn by the way you learned, then you're limiting them and you're limiting yourself. So be yourself and have fun. But remember, whatever your choice is, whatever your job is, whatever your life is, make it something significant for yourself. Be sure that the children learn the sidewalk is for them to play, the street is for the cars to play. And if you don't, stop calling yourself a teacher. Because if your children are all getting killed on the street because they're not getting the message, who's not giving it to them? Now, that sounds terrible, but that's not terrible. It's just a simple statement. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Is Rex a happy dog? And don't look at him. Is Rex a happy dog? Sure. Is he always doing things that delight him? Sure. Does he know I love him? Sure. Does he know that each of us love him? Sure. So you don't have to show it, because it's your heart. And when you teach children, you just give them all that you are inside. And if you don't get it across, then it's because you don't really care. And if you really care, then you're living 2015 in the most beautiful, glorious way, right now, fulfilled. Every person that comes in your life is going to be fulfilled. When Anita goes to her zoo, what's she going to find there? Everything in divine order. No confusion. No mess. When she goes to New Zealand, what's she going to find there? Everything in divine order. Everything working out just beautifully. And you, when you go into your world, you go visit your relatives back in Switzerland, what are you going to find there? That they don't want to see you? Or that they just embrace you with all their heart and soul and being? Yeah, yeah. You see? Now, that's what you find. Whatever it is you expect. And Ellen, when you are on the phone with your grandchildren and your children, what do you find? Do you find the most ideal love? Then that's because you're the most ideal love. And you'll always find that, whether you're there or here or anywhere, because that's you and that's what you carry with you everywhere you go. Life's wonderful, isn't it? But it's only wonderful if we live it in the now. So each of you is living in the now, the adventures to come, because they're already done as happy, harmonious adventures, because you're the ideal creator of your world right now. And thank you for letting me be in it. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.